Good morning. I'd like to call to order the 1,303rd meeting of the WMATA Board of Directors. We have our agenda before us, and I want to move the agenda with one change. At the request of the staff, I'd like to remove item 10. And with that change, I move.
Do you mean item 9?
Item,
Roman numeral 9 sub.
Item, it's item, agenda item number 10, it says here on my.
11, 10.
Budget Committee.
Oh, I'm sorry, 11, 10. Sorry about that.
11, 10.
One important missing detail. 11, 10.
Okay, that's being removed.
Right, and. With that modification, I move approval of the agenda.
Madam Chair?
Mr. Graham.
Could I just have identification of what the item is that we're removing? Metro Access Operational Customer Improvement Program?
Yes, that's correct. And without exception, then we will proceed with the revised agenda. We also have before us the minutes of February 16. Do we have any? I'll move approval of the minutes and ask for a second.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion?
Some discussion.
Mr. Zimmerman.
Well, on page 5, in the discussion of the board procedure, text at the top of the page says, Mr. Zimmerman amended. Mr. Zimmerman would have no power to amend. Mr. Zimmerman may have proposed an amendment, but it was the board that amended. So the minute should show reflect.
Thank you for that clarification. Any other changes? Then those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, that's approved. We now will have a report by the Writers Advisory Council, Mr. Jaffe. There he is.
Advisory Council met on Wednesday, March 1st, and on the agenda included was Mr. Dan Mangalini, who has just recently, shortly before that, he's known as General Manager at the agency. We're happy to have him and to listen to the concerns of other council members. A number of items that were brought up by council members included a single tracking issue with respect to the red line, as I recall, related to advertising, and the back and forth dialogue helped to clarify that. That was also discussed in the public comment portion. It was answered also by Ms. Leona Agaritas. The fact that Mr. Pangolini had shown up at the meeting by the council was appreciated in that it was a signal of an import for the input of council members into the running of the agency. The minutes will be distributed to the members of the council showing a number of the issues that that were raised. One of them that I would like to raise is that was raised by Pat Sheehan, who is chairman of the Elderly and Disabled Committee and also member of the Writers Advisory Council, was the need for additional elevators at proposed expansions along in the rail system where there's concern with respect to accessibility by people with disabilities. Another issue that I had raised was there seems to be more and more indications of problems simply in communicating by email with staff members at the agency of people sending an email and not being received to the agency or people not receiving email from agency staff. Rather preliminary on my part in raising it, but it's happening more and more as I do more and more correspondence. The biggest issue that I would like to raise that we did raise with Mr. Pangolini is the value that the Legal Writers Council could provide in serving, if you will, as a free focus group for a new initiative by the members of by the authority. When you're about to propose a change in how sign displays are being used in the train stations, which is something that is welcomed, when you're proposing possible changes in the blue and orange line, sorry, the blue line related to the yellow and green line, the Columbia going up to the district line bordering Maryland. We could get more dialogue between the agency and certainly not only members of the Riders Advisory Council, but the ridership at large with respect to here's a proposed initiative that's being considered. Before it gets rolled out, if it could be tested out a little bit more than it seems that some of the ideas are tested out, it would seem that we get some additional feedback. I know that I am constantly hearing from people who feel that ideas have not been tested. The Writers Advisory Council held its first public forum on Monday, the 13th of March this week on Metro Access, allowing Metro Access writers to speak, and the agency provided a significant amount of assistance to the council in making that happen. I want to thank Ms. Mack for attending, Mr. Tangerlini, as well as Mr. Kaufman, who has been very, very dedicated in working on issues that we are raising with respect to the concerns of Metro Access riders, and I want to thank him in particular. At the forum on Monday, we had a 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. session, 7 to 9 p.m. session, and for members of the public to raise questions with concerns on Metro Access service. And between 5 and 7, there were a number of staff people were there from 3 to 9 p.m., but staff met with individual riders of Metro Access one-on-one, two-on-two, between 5 and 7 to listen to their individual concerns. And, you know, sometimes there's a little bit of nervousness on the part of public officials or an agency to get itself out there and open itself up to the more the riders and customers have an opportunity to speak out in the public, what are we in for? But there's pent-up anger out there among Metro Access customers in particular. And with the problems that have gone on over the years from one contractor to another and throughout the history of the program here at the agency, service problems have gone on for too long. They've been too serious. And people who depend upon Metro Access should not have to worry about their health being threatened that much more because of the stress Mary Williams is chairwoman of the Riders Advisory Council Metro Access Subcommittee. She was not able to be here today, and she asked me to apologize on her behalf. And just to mention, in sharing with her, concerns of the number of people at the agency who work at the agency, out of 10,000 employees, how many people get to their jobs by Metro Access? Might be able to count it on both hands, I'm not sure. You might be able to do that. I at least pose it as a question to consider. Is Metro Access dependable enough for people to get to their jobs on time? Can they get to Metro as an employer on time? Would Metro benefit in its running of its program, Metro Access service, by learning from its customers firsthand more so, learning better from its customers firsthand what they experience, both as customers and maybe even as employees. Maybe that's an additional way that we could incorporate into the running of this agency a higher level of sensitivity to what Metro Access riders' needs are. One idea that Mary Williams also asked me to mention is people who are visually impaired, people who are blind, would be something that could work, just posing it as an idea for Metro Access customers, maybe to wear a brightly colored hat. Drivers look for customers, and they don't find them. And someone who's blind isn't looking, if you will, for the driver. Just an idea, you don't know. Staff has been very, very helpful. I want to thank, in particular, Mr. Kent, Director of Metro Access Services, in being very responsive to a great barrage of questions. He's certainly experiencing baptism by fire in his first year. He's been very, very accessible. A number of staff people at MV have been very, very accessible as well. A number of staff people have gone out of their way. And we look forward to working in the months ahead to making Metro Access Service a high quality so that we don't have to worry about people being so frustrated and aggravated by negative experiences that they've had over the years.
Thank you, Mr. Jaffe. And I want to congratulate you and the work of your committee in the leadership that you're showing on our Metro Access issues. The forum was very well attended. I think we did learn more specifically some of the issues that our riders are dealing with, and I think it will be very helpful to us as we go forward with our committee, our ad hoc committee, which is jointly chaired by you and Mr. Kaufman, and we anticipate the report that you've committed to, first an interim report within 45 days and a final report within 90 days. So thank you and your committee very much.
Thank you.
And also thanks to Mr. Kaufman, who has really rolled up his sleeves and scratched appointments off his calendar and made a commitment to devote a great deal of time to this effort. So thank you very much for your leadership on this as well. We will move now to our public comment period. We have four people who are signed up to speak. We will start with Mr. Emil Abata. Mr. Abata.
Ms. Chair, I ask that, I know the order is not quite that which you have written, but I ask that the three of us be committed.
That's fine.
Okay, thank you very much.
Sure.
Thank you, Ms. Mack, Chairman of the Board, and the Board of Metro also. My name is Abel Abate. I am an Assistant Director for United Care Local 27 Parking and Service Workers Union. 12 years ago, the parking workers at the Metro Lots, who worked for a contractor at that time called HMC, came to our union because they were fed up with poverty wages, no health insurance, no rights in the jobs, and the unions by giving a bottle and a memo that they should urinate in that bottle that they were given. Those workers struggled for 2 years to get a union recognition and to get a union contract. In the middle of it all, their employer, HMC, was booted out by Metro, who brought in another contractor at that time, Penn Parking, who was not amenable to hiring new workers, and they could have taken the low road. However, fortunately, the chairman of the board of this very body let it be known to that company that they should not hold those workers responsible for the errors of their employer and told them to give the HMC employees the chance. Parking did so. For the next 10 years, the working conditions of the workers at the Metro parking lots improved. The workers want educational benefits, affordable health insurance, a voice on the job, and modest gains in wages. And I applaud. Then came the year 2004 and the controversy surrounding the allegations of theft in the parking rooms. WMATA certainly had every right to ensure that their revenue was being collected. However, no definitive conclusions were reached. WMATA then took the bold step of changing to a cashless system and bringing in a new contractor, Laws Parking. Unlike 10 years ago, neither this agency nor the board members told Laws that they should give the incumbent employees an opportunity to prove themselves. Laws gave only a small percentage of the incumbent employees a chance, and the rest were thrown out of work through no fault of their own. And with them went the union. Not only that, Laws let the new workforce know in so many ways, through letters, meetings, interrogations, that a union was not welcome in Laws Park. Laws' actions violated the neutrality principle that Richard White himself enunciated, but did nothing to enforce. We call upon WMATA to require that Laws agree to a fair democratic process that will allow the workers who are an integral part of the WMATA family to decide on unionization without coercion, pressure, intimidation, and interference. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you. Could you speak into the mic a little?
Good morning, everyone. My name is Ryan Smith. I work as a parking customer assistance representative at the Dunlop and American State. Proud of the work that I do every day, helping parking customers who have problems with the smart assistance. Also give directions and explain. As part of does not respect our rights to organize a union. Official bonuses from the National Labor Relations Board just had moved to the Department of Employee Agency. I think I've ripped off the brands to Bears Parking is not affiliated with any union. Bears Parking is pressuring us against organizations. Former General Manager Richard White said that Bears Parking is supposed to remain neutral according to the contract with Lamar. To my mind, Bass Park has not remained neutral. I'm here to ask the board of directors and the new administration. Bass Park has reached a fair democratic process that would allow us to decide on unionization, free of interference, pressure, and non-union. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Smith.
As a parking customer assistance representative, my employee is Laws Parking. Prior to working for Laws Parking, I worked at Huntington Station for 9 years. We had a union. Through our union, we were affordable health insurance, education benefit, and moderate wage increase, and the voice of waste on the job. In June 2004, WMATA brought in Laws Parking to operate a new smart grid system for parking. I and all our fellow employees applied to Laws Parking to keep our jobs. Suddenly, Laws Parking hired only a small percentage of us. The majority were not even given the opportunity to prove themselves with Laws Parking. I believe that Laws Parking did this purposely to get rid of our union in the parking lot. My fellow employee and I were part of a Metro family. We were very familiar with the way Metro works, and we had many friends among Metro customers. Since Laws Parking has taken over, I and my fellow employees have been organized to have a union again. We have to start all over to get back what we lost when Laws came. However, Laws Parking has not responded our rights organized. Their message to us clear, your union is not welcome. I am here today ask to the board of directors and a new managed administration to make Laws Parking agree to fair democratic process that we allow to allow us to decide unanimously and doing pressure and the zone delay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Ketchahan. Thank you. Ms. Tangley, would you have someone review these issues to assure that we are following correct procedures and operations?
Madam Chair, I had a meeting with staff on this issue just yesterday, and I'd be happy to move forward on exploring these issues raised today by these folks.
Thank you, and report back to us and let us know what your findings are.
That would be my pleasure.
Thank you. Mr. Smith.
Yes, on the issue, Mr. Changelini, as I recall, when we entered into this contract, there was this notion that because of the automatic nature of the Smart Trip card, that at some point we were either going to be able to greatly reduce or eliminate the P-car position in total in terms of our parking operation. And I don't know if that's been followed up on in terms of whether we've evaluated and decided that that can't be. I know we had to expand it even at one point initially. So has it been decided that we can't do that now, that we won't be able to go forward with that part of the automatic process? And I would think if you could bring that to the operations committee to brief us on where we stand relative to this contract in time and the operations of it relative to the P-car position as it relates to the contract.
I think there are a broader series of issues related to our management of the parking program, the way we approached cashless parking that I would like to bring to the board at a subsequent subcommittee and the appropriate subcommittee level. I've asked the people who run parking, particularly Mr. Ray Stoner, to prepare some alternatives for the board to explore other ways to approach it.
Great. Thank you.
Then, fine, and that would go on the agenda of an operations committee.
Madam Chair.
Mr. Zimmerman.
I'd be interested in hearing the answer. My understanding was that there's always going to be some personnel involved in administering the program, and you know, I don't know. I guess we'll hear to what degree it's thought can be done entirely on an automated basis, but at some point, you know, there's probably some level of staffing that's going to be involved, and in any case, we have many other things, and I think this situation illustrates an overall issue for policy here. We have certain principles we follow pretty carefully with those who are employed directly by WMATA, and they are represented employees pretty uniformly and are entitled to certain benefits as a result of representation. They can expect certain things not only in terms of their income, but in terms of benefits and in terms of working conditions. There's nothing wrong with contracting out for services, and there are many things that it's appropriate to do out of house rather than in house. But we don't lose all obligation to the people who do the work that constitutes the Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority because some of them are working for contractors. And that goes to their rights for representation as well as what they are paid. So I continue to be concerned about this situation in terms of their representation, the issue that they directly addressed today, and as well as a related issue which goes to the need for a living wage policy here at WMATA to ensure that we are doing right by all the people who work and provide the service that constitutes Metro, and also to ensure that we get the best service and are able to deliver the best service, because we will undoubtedly do better when we treat all the employees with the dignity.
Thank you, Mrs. Zimmerman. Our final speaker is Mr. Jim Clardy, I think it is. Clardy.
On the red line. We see in the paper where there's talk about extending the yellow line
and there's been increased service at night. But a lot of our members deal with the real problem is we don't have the turnbacks that occur at both Denham and Grosvenor during the non-peak period and on weekends. I consider any of those turnbacks at both Grosvenor and Glenmont on non-peak periods and on weekends. It makes it a lot. It makes it very convenient for a lot of us who use Metro, especially during those periods of time. And forever, in the middle of the day, staying there 15 or 20 minutes and seeing like waiting for a train.
Thank you very much, Mr. Clardy. That ends our comment period. Yes, Ms. Hudgens.
May I just ask if we could get the list of speakers as board members here? Because there seems to be a list, and it would be good to know who people are. We listen to them, but just from a visual and a record.
Sure. As you know, they sign up just immediately before the board member, and we can duplicate the list that I get and make it available to everyone. Thank you.
Or alternatively, it could be shown on a screen, just as a thought, so that everybody in the room could see who was speaking.
That's fine, as long as we don't have to go buy a screen to show it on. Okay, fine. Thank you. All right, and now the report of the chairman. I am pleased to be able to present to, now this, I'm to present a resolution to Mr. Harold Bartlett, and I was hoping he could be here, but I don't
see. Yes.
Oh, there you are. Okay.
Proof.
Already faded into the wall.
Wonderful. Wonderful. All right.
I'm going already.
All right. Well, let me just say what the resolution says before we make the presentation. And it commends Mr. Bartlett for 23 years of dedicated service at WMATA. Mr. Bartlett has served as budget analyst, senior budget analyst, head of management analysis, executive officer for finance, associate director for business planning and development, secretary to the board of directors, and secretary and chief of staff. So we can say that Mr. Bartlett has truly been the utility infielder for us. Mr. Bartlett was the recipient of the General Manager's Award for Meritorious Service in 1995 and the Jackson Graham Award for Extraordinary Achievement in 2005. It goes on to say the Board of Directors and the citizens of the Washington region thank Mr. Bartlett for his service to the authority and wish him much success in his retirement. And I'm going to move approval of that resolution.
Second.
A motion and a second. Discussion? Hearing none. Mr. Kaufman.
Since you and I are the, I'm not going to say longest living, but longest serving members of this body, I've had privilege to know Harold through most of his service, whether I was here with Joe Alexander or others, and so often Metro is portrayed as this gray, faceless agency. And time and again, I've found that Harold gave the agency the best possible face, that it was a real group of dedicated people that cared. The word dedication certainly is true, but also conscientiousness, and I can't say that, conscientiousness and commitment. That's the type of employee every agency, public or private, hopes to have. And we've indeed been blessed by having Harold as long as we had him. And again, you've made quite a record here, and we'll miss you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kaufman. And let me just personally add my thanks to Harold for his work here at the Authority. I think we computed the numbers, and we've been here about the same amount of time. But I remember him in his work as a budget analyst and have really had a very strong working relationship with him throughout his other roles. And I think the fact that he has played so many roles here speaks to his versatility, to his adaptability, and to the value that he brought to the authority and to the board in all these roles. So we're going to miss you, Harold, and we're going to ask you to come forward, and we'll make a presentation.
Do we vote first, or?
Oh, that's right. All right, we vote first before we make the presentation.
That's how it's going to come out.
That we don't know
He's
how it's going to come
votes.
Out.
Okay.
those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
All right, those opposed?
Yes, you know.
You made it, Harold. Okay. Come forward. We don't have a photographer.
We cut the budget.
Did we cut it out of the budget? Okay. Well, we'll have to.
Do it afterwards.
We'll have to. Oh, okay. Mr. Deegan's got a. Okay. There we go. All right.
For reason too.
Charlie's got a camera.
Charlie's got a camera.
Oh, no, no.
Yeah, we want to go to him. Right.
Missing mustache. Mustache.
I have to answer that.
Get the picture, Jim.
Thank you very much, and thank you, Mr. Deegan, for coming to the rescue.
Well, Madam Chairman, maybe as the newest principal member of the board, since the old sages have had their say, I too want to say that, Harold, you've been was most helpful to me coming in as a new board member, and I really grew to treasure you as a friend, and you know, what can you say about a fellow Irishman that gives up beer for Lent? And it's a Redskin fan. But we'll continue to go to those Redskin games.
I just want to make one more comment and applaud Harold for his undying support for COMTO. Harold's a member of COMTO. He was actually honored by COMTO back during Black History Month for all the work that he has done to promote COMTO in the agency. And we're very proud of our chapter here, and the chapter has been advanced quite significantly by the support that it has gotten from the executive level, particularly Harold. So thank you for that work as well. All right. Moving on to the interim general manager's report. Mr. Tangerine.
Madam Chair, I have not submitted a formal general manager's report, but I would like to take a few moments to comment on some of the recent work that we've done over the last month, both myself and the staff here at Metro. As Dennis Jaffe said, Metro staff and I have actively participated and attended with presentations to meetings of the Riders Advisory Council, and we look forward to working with the board and the Riders Advisory Council to make this relationship as productive and useful as possible. We also have worked, most recently with the board's Metro Access Task Force and the Riders Advisory Council Metro Access Public Forums Monday afternoon and evening. I think we got a lot of important input, and we learned a lot of good lessons that I think will do well to inform the task force's report, as well as our ability to make changes to the way we deliver those services. On a regional level, I testified at a budget hearing in the House Transportation Subcommittee last Wednesday in Annapolis with Secretary Flanagan of MDOT. In addition, I attended a Dulles Metro Project Steering Committee last Tuesday. And staff and I have participated in the APTA Legislative, the American Public Transit Association Legislative Conference last week, which included a tribute to Senator Sarbanes. I'm also actively working to continue to get to know the Metro system, the workings of it, as well as meet with customers and our employees out in the system. I visited the new Carrollton warehouse last week, And I also yesterday took right-of-way training, so I don't get hit by trains when I go out onto the track. I met with safety personnel, police department personnel, and plant employees while I was at the Carmen Turner facility. And tomorrow I'll be meeting with rail employees at the rail and other operations employees at the Alexandria Rail Yard as we start a process of continuing operating meetings in which I meet with the actual operating supervisors and staff in their facilities. Key meetings next week include the Columbia Pike Transit Initiative Forum Monday night, the WMATA budget information session here Tuesday night, and the WMATA Metro FY07 budget hearing before the DC City Council next Thursday. If I can ask for just a few more moments, I have one additional item that I'd like to share with you this morning. And this has to do with an incident that took place last Friday, March 10th, when a customer of ours, Denise Wilson, a congressional staffer who had been here earlier in the day, was a passenger on the number 70 bus traveling northbound on Georgia Avenue, when one passenger in the rear of the bus began striking other passengers with a hammer. The bus was at the intersection of Park and Georgia Northwest at about 6:25 a.m. when the assault started. Hearing the commotion, the bus operator pulled the bus over, went to the back of the bus where the assault was happening, and defused the situation. Ms. Wilson said that within a minute or two, the assault stopped, and two D.C. Metropolitan Police officers were escorting the assailant off the bus. The operator demonstrated so much control throughout the incident that only one passenger got off the bus. The operator went back to his seat and for the rest of the ride greeted boarding customers by apologizing for the delay in getting to their stops, which was only a few minutes, and telling customers that he hoped he didn't make them late for work that day. Ms. Wilson was so grateful for the bus operator's control in handling a violent situation and for the proactive approach he took in apologizing to customers who may have been a few minutes late because of the incident, she contacted us to make us aware of the operator's actions. I'm pleased and proud that the operator of the bus, Mr. Ronald Majors, is able to be here with us this morning. If you'd stand up, please, Mr. Majors. I think it's important to note that his actions are typical of the excellent work that is done day in and day out by our Metro employees that you seldom hear about. Mr. Majors has been a Metro bus operator for 26 years, since 1980, and he currently works out of our Northern Bus Division. We've begun a program here at Metro called Metro Starts With Me. It's about our shared responsibility as employees to make our customers know we all care about them. I think Ronald Majors exemplifies this attitude. And I'd like to, well, give him another round of applause, frankly, for his heroic efforts, not just on this one day we learned about from Ms. Wilson, but every day he and his counterparts do their jobs. Thank you, Mr. Majors. That concludes the General Manager's report, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Tagliani, and again to Mr. Wilson, Mr. Majors, thank you so much, and I do want to underscore what Mr. Tagliani says. Your action just brings to light the dedication and the commitment of the many employees that we have in the system, both the ones who are operating our vehicles and the ones who are behind the scenes. So thank you very much. We will now move to the report of the Planning and Development Committee. Mr. Zimmerman.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. The Planning and Development Committee met on March 2nd and has three items to bring forward for your consideration. And the first item, staff sought the committee concurrence and board approval to hold a public hearing on the general plans and environmental evaluation on two prospective locations for the proposed Glenmont parking structure, and to authorize the general manager to release the public hearing staff report, including staff recommendations for public comment, as soon as the report should be available. This is identified as item A. There is a description and a Metro Electronic Action Document, a phrase I still don't like. But the committee does recommend your approval, and on behalf of the committee, I so move.
Of a motion.
Second.
And a second. Discussion. Hearing none, those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? That's approved.
Second item concerns the WMATA inputs to the 2007 to 2030 constrained long-range plan for the National Capital Region. Staff requested that the committee forward to with the WMATA input for constrained long-range plan to which will go to the Transportation Planning Board, of course. You will see this is item B. There's a resolution. There's also a letter that I guess was already transmitted. I'm a little bit confused about the
letter has not been transmitted, Mr. Zimmerman. Has Sorry. Not been. It's subject to the board's approval.
Okay. So that date on that was probably the date it was drafted?
Yes.
Okay. So that letter would depend upon the action here this morning. All right. And the actual numbers are included in the tables that are attached. Now, these may have been adjusted since we saw what was presented in the committee. Perhaps Mr. Thomas or Mr. Dangerlini, if somebody can advise on that. There was a discussion, and I'm expecting that they reflect the changes.
What you have in the attachments are the following. You have a baseline assumption, absent any changes from what we've submitted in the past. That's the first capital display. It doesn't assume any specific funding in terms of federal, state, and local to support that difference in the revenue assumed and what's needed to fully fund the program. The second display reflects some adjustments in Metro Matters and as well to pick up some additional mileage and stations, the new stations that we've added to the system since the baseline system was assumed. It also does not assume specific sources of state, local, and federal funding to make up the difference in the assumed revenues and the total cost. The third display does assume the Davis bill as a federal funding source, so it's the baseline with an assumption that the federal funds, additional federal funds, would be made available, assuming approval of the Davis bill. And the fourth display on capital reflects the expansions, given the new assets added to the system, it calls out the Davis bill funding. So those are the displays on the capital side, and the two displays on the operating side matches essentially the two capital displays.
When you say expansions, you're talking about Dulles?
Dulles is included, and the new stations, New York Avenue, Morgan Boulevard, and Largo Town Center. Those are included.
Those are necessarily in all of them, are they not?
They are not reflected in the baseline. I think the point we wanted to make is that we didn't make any assumptions in the baseline that was different from what we assumed in the Metro Matters program. Since that time, we have gotten estimates of what it would cost to renew the new stations that have been added to the system. So the three new stations were not included in the baseline Metro Matters program.
That's the first, is the first two
that
pages?
That is the so-called baseline. That's the first display on the capital side.
Is there anything that says that? And I had a hard time separating these. The heading seems identical. Am I missing something?
Well, you're not missing anything. And in fact, I'm trying to explain that the first display is, in fact, a baseline assumption. The second display.
First table that follows
yes,
the letter?
Yes, the letter, exactly.
Okay. And then there's nothing indicating how the second page differs?
Not specifically, other than what we've presented in the presentation to your committee.
Other than what you just said now, I mean.
What I just said, and it's reflected in the presentation we made to the Planning and Development Committee.
Okay, so the second page I look at, that now adds in the new stations?
New stations are added.
All right, and then the third page
reflects Davis bill funding of the baseline chart.
And then the fourth one
reflects all of the additional capital costs, plus it assumes funding from the Davis bill. starting in 07.
That was in the previous one. So what's the difference in the fourth one?
Difference in the fourth one is it assumes the new station, the additional assets added to the system.
Yeah.
And it assumes funding from the Davis bill.
Okay, so the third one has Davis bill, but not the additional assets.
That's correct.
Not the stations that we've added in the last few years. Correct. And then the last one is all that plus Dulles.
That's correct.
Okay, so is the notion that TPB will sort this out? I mean, what goes in?
Well, this information will actually go to the TPB technical committee, which is made up of representatives from all of the jurisdictions. That committee will make a recommendation to the TPB on one of these options.
It's pretty clear the first one's irrelevant, since we know we, in fact, do have a New York Avenue station, a Morgan Boulevard station, so we can eliminate that right off the bat. And we might give them a key when we did this, so that since they won't necessarily have you there to answer the question as soon as somebody looks at it.
But we do have a member of that technical committee. I think the big question is going to be, what's the status of the Davis bill? And at that time, when that discussion takes place, we'll have someone from our government affairs office to pretty much answer the question.
Well, I mean, if we look at the second one, which has, you know, the relevant parts of the system included, but does not reflect any federal funding, which you're using the shorthand of Davis bill for.
Well, it assumes federal funding, but it doesn't identify
currently
specific
existing federal
source.
Funding.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't have any new federal funding.
Well, if you go down to that last line of that chart, it says state, local, federal, non-formula. So that could, in fact, include some additional federal discretionary.
Identification of the unmet need, essentially.
Exactly.
And it shows that $1 billion short in the period 07 to 10.
That's correct.
Does that correspond to the $1.5 billion figure that's been used? I mean, I don't know.
You could imply that, but we don't specifically say that because we wanted to make sure that we weren't getting too far ahead of the whole discussion about dedicated funding. So we have an option in here that basically says there is a need for additional funding, and it probably will come from those three sources, state, local, and federal, but we don't specify what sources.
I guess it just should be made clear that that's a shortfall there.
That's an
amount of need that is not funded, absent action by the federal government and the states, essentially.
Absolutely.
Okay. I'm glad that's clear.
Mr. Chairman. Okay. Go ahead. Oh, and Kathy also. Okay.
They've got it, Mr. Zimmerman, but I'm still a little fuzzy about the explanation. Maybe we can have a narrative that went along with the verbal explanation that he gave here this morning.
That would seem like a good idea.
Absolutely.
Also perhaps something that labeled the individual tables and explained which is which.
Okay.
Madam Chair, I think not only for our sake, but also that the clarity is there for TPB, because I think the annotating, the discussion that went forward is really what's going to be needed in order to that we won't have long discussions as to what the merit of some of the projects and why they're there.
Absolutely. And I also think that if there is any interest in this document by anyone outside of TPB, it also needs to have a discussion of what these various exhibits represent. And before I ask Mr. Kaufman to comment, I noticed this letter that's transmitting it, as noted by Mr. Zimmerman, is dated March the 10th. If we're approving it today, it's important that the date reflect a date at least after the board approval, because as time goes on, we'll try to match up the approval with the dates and we'll be confused.
Yes.
So, Mr. Kaufman.
Just piggybacking on briefly to Mr. Zimmerman's comments, the key thing that I hope, and I think a number of us hope, gets clearly communicated is that what is the long-range implication if we're not able to get the Davis funding? What does that mean? You know, the numbers are nice, they're numbers, but what does it mean when it doesn't include those federal dollars? Thank you.
Madam Chairman, that information is, in fact, in the presentation we made to the P&D committee. We could bring that forward if you choose.
Oh, okay, fine. I was late to one of those meetings, and so I missed that discussion. I was just going to raise the issue because we generally do have a discussion about this in the P&D committee, and we're generally a little bit more familiar with it.
Madam Chairman, just to be specific, in the document presented at the committee, the unprovided funds were shown on the state-local line. And essentially, the implicit assumption is that that's, you know, if the feds didn't come with money, that's where it was coming from. And it was pointed out that that's not an assumption anyone can make, that the CLRP is based on funds reasonably expected to be available, and it's not reasonably expected to be expected that certainly the local governments in Virginia are going to come up with all the funding that the state and the feds decide not to provide. If they don't, then those things, that funding will not be forthcoming, and we can't do those things. And that is the most important thing to be understood when this regional plan is put together at TPB. And that's why it's good that it's being shown as a separate line there, that at the bottom, that is the funding. Those are all the projects, all the things that will not be done if there isn't federal funding and corresponding state and local action. We need to be explicit about that, and I would hope that the letter would be redrafted in a way that makes that point more explicitly and makes clear there's a statement in there about the assumption of state and local revenue, nothing about federal revenue. And it needs to be made clear we need this new partnership and some combination of federal and new dedicated funding in order to do all this presumed by that bottom line, or those things will not be done.
Thank you. No further comment than those in favor indicate.
I didn't actually make the motion. You probably.
Oh, I'm sorry. You didn't make it when you started?
Okay. I didn't get to that. Madam Chairman, on behalf of the committee, I move approval of the resolution and also would ask that that motion be understood to include the direction given in board comments on this matter.
Second.
Motion second. Is there any additional comment? Hearing none, those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, that's approved. Mr. Zimmerman.
The final item concerns the Suitland Metro Rail Station. Staff sought the committee and seeks board approval for WANA to enter into a connection agreement with GSA to construct and maintain a canopy connecting the new U.S. Census Bureau headquarters to the existing WMATA canopy at the Suitland Metro Rail Station. This appears as there's no resolution. It's a direction to enter into an agreement. The committee recommends your approval, and on behalf of the committee, I move board approval.
Have a motion.
Second.
And a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed, that's approved.
Chairman, there were a number of information items, and I'll dispense with counting them. That's my report. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Zimmerman. We have a report from the Real Estate Committee by Mr. Zeigan.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. This will be quick. The Real Estate Committee met in executive session on March 2nd, 2006. We discussed the possible relocation of the Jackson Graham Building, and the committee was also briefed on a draft revised joint development guidelines, which will be reviewed by a task force to obtain comment from local officials and the public. The committee was also informed that the compact public hearing for the Silver Spring Transit Center, approved in December 2004, will be held this spring. That's the conclusion of my report.
Well, thank you, Mr. Deegan. All right. Moving now to the Budget Committee, Mr. Graham.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. We had various action items. First, we proposed to amend the FY06 reimbursable operating budget for the Southeast facility. This is, of course, all related to the new stadium for baseball. There is a request that well, there's also a new stadium for soccer, in a way, so I wanted to distinguish the two. But anyway, this is for a reimbursable item for $225,000 to relocate parking for the Southeast facility and to provide employee bus shuttle operation. We've lost our parking lot. It is in the footprint of the stadium, and so we've located a new parking lot. The District of Columbia is prepared to pay for that $225,000. We also request that there be included in the proposed FY07 budget $485,000, again as reimbursable, for annualized costs for the bus shuttle operation. As I noted, funding for the FY06 and FY07 items will be provided by the District of Columbia, and there's no subsidy impact on other jurisdictions, so moved.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, that's approved. Mr. Grant.
The second item, we propose that the board initiate a competitively negotiated procurement for a temporary employee service contract. This was not quite presented to us on this way, but we do believe that we should authorize this procurement on a competitive basis, and thus this award presumably would return to the board for approval. I so move.
A motion?
Second.
A second. Discussion? Hearing none. Those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? That's approved. Mr. Graham.
The third item is to approve and amend appropriately the FY06 operating budget to include a $60,000 non-matching grant, which would go to the Office of Homeland Security within the D.C. Deputy Mayor for Public Safety's operations. This is for a behavioral assessment screening system training contract pursuant to the Urban Area Security Initiative. I so move.
We have a motion.
Second.
And a second. Discussion? Hearing none. Those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? That's approved. Mr. Graham.
The fourth item, staff has requested approval to conduct public hearings for proposed increases in parking fares for bus and rail systems relating to four holidays and FY07 service changes. I think it's fair to say that there was a good deal of varying viewpoints within the committee on this subject, but that we would favor at least the public hearings on this issue so as to gain public input. That should not be taken as any support by this board or by this committee or by myself in support of these fare changes. I so move.
Can I have a second? A motion and a second. Discussion? Those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? That's approved. Mr. Graham.
The fifth item would have related to Metro Matters annual work plan and Metro Matters program. My notes here, I think we deferred this item.
Mr. Graham, I think what we agreed was that we'd stamp it draft.
That's right, that's right. Excuse me, my notes
send,
here are not
draft.
Accurate. That's right. A motion was passed that it be circulated to the jurisdictions as a discussion draft document upon which the board had taken no position, and that so that we could obtain jurisdictional comments on the annual work plan and on the Metro Matters program amendments, and also that we would be provided further information at the next budget meetings. So does this require an approval by this board? I guess to circulate, the resolution to circulate to the jurisdictions, so I move approval.
I have a motion.
Second.
And a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Mr. Graham.
Initiate an award consultant services contract for strategic plan update and business plan development. This matter was deferred by the committee, so it is not before us. There was various information items that were considered. A customer service initiative was the subject of a presentation on non-passenger revenue. The operating budget second quarter financial report, July to December 2005, was the subject of a presentation. And we did agree to have these reports on a quarterly basis in the future, although monthly financial reports would still be available, obviously. And the FY07 operating budget update, the staff provided updated revenue and expense for the proposed FY07. That concludes my report, Madam Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Graham. Moving now to the administrative items, we have Mr. Zimmerman.
Now, in the amended agenda, 9 administrative items.
That's correct.
Subject to the proviso that unless any board member wants any removed, I would move that the 9 items be approved en bloc.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Anyone want to pull out any item? Hearing none on both of those points, Those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, that's approved. We move now to the jurisdictional reports. You know, who's Marilyn?
I'm Marilyn.
You're Marilyn. Okay. Mr. Deegan.
No report.
Okay. Mr. Kaufman, are you Virginia?
Ms. Hudgens is Virginia.
Okay, Ms. Hudgens.
I'm Bob. No.
Money to be with Virginia or what? But my only report would be that last month there seemed to have been more optimism than there is, I think, this month. But I think the important part is that the General Assembly will be back on the 27th, and I think it's very critical that folks recognize the importance of this and that. I think our communication may have been a helpful piece as the result of the board sending its communication regarding the importance of the dedicated funding and the appropriateness of a Commonwealth to see it as a benefit to everyone.
Wonderful, wonderful. I don't know if everyone knows that as a result of our discussion in the Budget Committee last week, we did send a communication who did we address? I forgot who we addressed it to. To the conferees, right. And to the conferees. Would other board members be provided copies of that letter? And I'm glad to hear that it's been noticed and will be considered, perhaps.
Noticed is exactly the description, too.
Right.
Now it can be effective.
Thank you very much. Report by the District of Columbia, Mr. Graham.
Yes, well, I can report to you that the district's commitment to dedicated funding for this system continues to be strong. Our legislation was passed on first reading, if my recollection is correct, and I have every reason to believe that our legislation will be carried at the April meeting and be put into effect, so the district will be the first jurisdiction to take formal action in support of this system and its long-term needs.
Thank you, Mr. Graham. And we in the district are really pleased to be in the forefront on this and hope that our action has been the stimulus for action that is going on in the other jurisdictions. Mayor Ewell. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Linton.
I cannot be as definitive as Mr. Graham, but I would like to report that there was a hearing in Annapolis last week, which I attended and had a chance to testify. And there are three legislative bills that are in the hopper for consideration, and they have a positive effect on MATA as per the Davis bill. So I just want to let you know that bills, there was a hearing, and I attended a hearing. And
excellent. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Linton. If there's nothing further to come before the board, I make a motion that the board meet in executive session to discuss legal matters. Can we get a second? And a second, and without exception, that is approved. Meeting adjourned.
Let's see, I don't know what they're going to do.